Dozens of laborers killed in the collapse of a garment factory in Bangladesh last week were laid to rest today in a mass funeral. The disaster has cost more than 400 lives and is raising new questions about working conditions for the people who make the clothes we wear. Michael Londrigan is Dean of Academic Affairs at LIM College, a fashion business school on Manhattan's East Side. He's also worked for JCPenney and Cotton Incorporated. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
The number of dead is simply shocking, but the global fashion business depends on low-cost factories like the one that collapsed in Bangladesh. Could this event mark some kind of turning point?
I would hope that it would. I'm looking at this as the companies here in the U.S. and in Europe putting more pressure on the governments. This fellow who was building this building had permission to build a 5-story building. He added 3 stories illegally. Someone had to know about that.
Most well-known labels do inspect the factories they work with abroad, but do these inspections include checking the structural soundness of the factory building itself?
Not to my knowledge. I traveled all over the world. I've been in hundreds of factories. I had never once even gave thought to whether I was entering into a building that was unsafe. From the exterior, everything looks, you know, like it's built well. You go in, you work in the factory, you work on the factory floor, and you leave. I don't think anybody in the industry is certainly trained to inspect buildings. They're not engineers.
Right.
They're looking at factories and processes.
Tease that out a little bit more for me. When you did this work, what were you looking for?
And when I was in industry, I would look at the factory and look at the conditions there in terms of whether they were meeting the guidelines that we had set up with our vendor compliance manuals, our CSR policies.
What CSR stand for?
Corporate social responsibility, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at how those workers were being treated, what the working conditions were, and really looking at the product and how it was being made and whether it was being made to the standards that we had set up. So looking at buildings, no.
Right. Part of the news coming out of this collapse is that these workers were earning about $38 a month.
A month, yes, that's correct, yeah.
Pretty typical for Bangladesh?
For Bangladesh, yes. In terms of the factory workers that are paid there, that's probably an average wage for them in those conditions, yes.
How do you deal with that on a personal level when you're making these inspections and you're asking about the conditions and how these workers are treated and you find out that that's the wage, balancing it with what you know about your lifestyle, life in these United States, and just how it lands, $38 a month. Just, again, it's just part of what is shocking people as a result of this terrible building collapse.
It is. And on a personal note, one of the things that I always would take away in visiting some of these factories, whether it be in Honduras or Bangladesh or any country that is certainly below our standard of living, is what would that person be doing without that $38 a month? Would they have a roof over their head? Would they have food on their table? And that's the thing. It is a low wage, but that's the prevailing wage. So it's hard to compare it to what we make here in the U.S. or in any modern European countries.
You teach the global supply chain to your students at LIM College. What do the fashion entrepreneurs of tomorrow think about the way the global supply chain works?
Well, it's a good question, and one of the things that we do look at is trying to educate our students here in, strong corporate social responsibility policies, good sourcing premises, and looking at how they can improve the supply chain once they do get into the real world. And it, again, it goes back to looking at where they're producing, what kind of products, and what countries that they want to be in, and how they can help improve the lives of those people that are working there.
Besides Bangladesh, what are other markets that are emerging in terms of clothing manufacturing?
Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, those three would probably be important. We're also seeing more coming out of some of the South American, Central American countries still are important. China, everyone talks about, and that will still remain a force for the rest of time, I believe. They say wages are increasing, so more emphasis is being put on some of the other areas, such as Vietnam and Cambodia.
And briefly, Dean Londrigan, anybody doing it right?
I think there's a lot of people doing parts of it right. I can't say that there's one company or business that is doing everything right, and it's very complicated. The supply chain is a complicated issue. Most companies look at the factory itself, and they don't go far enough. They don't go to the fiber. They don't go to the fabric. You buy a blouse or a shirt here in the U.S., and it says made in Bangladesh. You have no idea where the fabric came from because the supply chain is very complicated.
Complicated and long. Michael Londrigan is Dean of Academic Affairs at LIM College. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.